the Lord be with you.
And also with you.
On this Harvest Sunday, the psalmist reminds us that the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. Let the whole earth stand in awe of him. Please take a seat. A very warm welcome to everybody on our Harvest Sunday. It's lovely to have you with us, and we want to say a special welcome to all who are tuning in online, and we hope that you can get a flavour of the lovely decoration of the church as we come together to worship on this Harvest Sunday. We're delighted this morning to welcome as our preacher, the Reverend Julie Bell. Many people will remember Julie from her days here as a student reader, and it's lovely to have Julie with us this morning. Thank you for coming, and we know that you will be blessed by all that Julie will bring to share with us today. I wanted to first of all say thank you also to everybody who worked so hard to decorate the church and make it so beautiful for today, and thank you to everybody for all their efforts to make our Community Fun Day yesterday such a wonderful day. There was a fantastic atmosphere all around the church. It was lovely to welcome lots of visitors and families from around the area. And thank you to everybody for all their hard work in making that possible. On your way in, hopefully you'll have seen the notices for the week that is to come. Just wanted to remind people of two or three things that don't happen every week that are on this week. First of all, our harvest worship continues this evening at 7 o'clock. With a celebration of Holy Communion, and we look forward to welcoming the Diocesan Director of Ordinands, the Reverend Simon Janot, as our preacher this evening. And after our evening harvest celebration, there will be a harvest supper over in the church hall, and all are welcome. On Tuesday evening, our monthly service of divine healing will be taking place here in church at 7:30. That's on Tuesday evening here in the church. And on Wednesday afternoon, the ladies' afternoon friendship group are meeting at 2:00. And this week they're looking forward to welcoming a speaker from the War Museum to speak about World War II and Northern Ireland's involvement in World War II. That's on Wednesday afternoon at 2:00, the ladies' afternoon friendship group. On Saturday morning, we're having our monthly work party around the church grounds. If you're free and you can help us, we're always glad for some help around the church grounds between 9 and 11 on Saturday morning. Next Sunday, our services are Holy Communion at 9 o'clock. And at 11 o'clock, as part of our celebrations for our 90th anniversary, we look forward to welcoming the Archbishop of Armagh, the Most Reverend John McDowell, as our preacher next Sunday morning at 11 o'clock, and next Sunday evening at 7, the service of wholeness and healing. Our service today is the service of morning prayer. Beloved in Christ, we come together on this Harvest Sunday to offer to Almighty God our worship and praise and thanksgiving, to confess our sins and to receive God's forgiveness, to hear his holy word proclaimed, to bring before him our needs and the needs of the world, and to pray that in the power of his Spirit we may serve him and know the greatness of his love. Let us confess our sins to God our Father. Heavenly Father, Heavenly Father, we have sinned against you and against our neighbor in thought and word and deed, through negligence, through weakness, through our own deliberate fault, by what we have done and by what we have failed to do. We are truly sorry and repent of all our sins for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us. Forgive us all that is past, and grant that we may serve you in newness of life, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy on you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Our psalm appointed for this Harvest Sunday is a psalm of praise and thanksgiving. We sing Psalm 65. To be seated for our Old Testament reading.
A reading from the book Deuteronomy, chapter 26. When you have come into the land that the Lord your God is giving you as an inheritance to possess, and you possess it and settle in it, you shall take some of the first of all the fruit of the ground, which you harvest from the land that the Lord your God is giving you, and you shall put it in a basket and go to the place that the Lord your God will choose as a dwelling for his name. You shall go to the priest who is in office at that time, and say to him, "Today I declare to the Lord your God that I have come into the land that the Lord swore to our ancestors to give us." When the priest takes the basket from your hand and sets it down before the altar of the Lord your God, you shall make this response before the Lord your God: "A wandering Aramean was my ancestor. He went down into Egypt and lived there as an alien, few in number. And there he became a great nation, mighty and populous. When the Egyptians treated us harshly and afflicted us by imposing hard labor on us, we cried to the Lord, the God of our ancestors. The Lord heard our voice and saw our affliction, our toil, and our oppression. The Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, with a terrifying display of power, and with signs and wonders. And he brought us into this place and gave us this land, a land flowing with milk and honey. So now I bring the first of the fruit of the ground that you, O Lord, have given me. You shall set it down before the Lord your God and bow down before the Lord your God. Then you, together with the Levites and the aliens who reside among you, shall celebrate with all the bounty that the Lord your God has given to you and to your house."
We're going to sing together "For the Fruits of His Creation."
Second reading from the letter to the Philippians, chapter 4, beginning at verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Do not worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, beloved, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence and if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Keep on doing the things that you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, and the God of peace will be with you. It's lovely to be with you this morning, and we're just going to spend a few moments thinking about some of the places that we heard in one of our readings. So this is for the children who I think are about to go to Sunday school, but also for everyone. I want us to go in our imagination to some different places. So the first place is a city, a very powerful place, where we have all that we need, but some people have to work very, very hard to produce it. So God's people at one stage were in a place called Egypt, but they had to work very, very hard to build all that the people in power wanted them to build. So they had to be building with bricks. But it became even harder because even when they had to work hard with the bricks, they then had to go and gather the straw to make the bricks. And they became very, very tired and weary. So that was the first place that God's people found themselves, in a place where they were tired and weary. The second place was a very hot place. It was the desert. So can you imagine this morning being in the desert? It's not easy in the autumn in Northern Ireland, but we're going to use our imagination. It's a very hot place, and there's just expanses of sand everywhere. And the thing about the desert is that not much can grow there. So you can't see where you're going to get your next meal. You can't see where the food is for today's meal. But in that place, when God's people were there, he sent for them a special food. It was as fine as frost, and it tasted like wafers made with honey. It was called manna. Morning by morning, they went out to gather it, but by midday, the sun had melted it. So every day, people who collected a lot didn't have too much, and those who collected little didn't have too little. It was a place where they just had enough Every day they waited for the special food to rain down in the desert. And then, after crossing a river, God's people ended up in a land where they themselves could build houses and they could have trees and vineyards. It was a place that is described as flowing with milk and honey. God had settled them and had given them everything they needed whenever they wanted it. So everything that they needed was in sight, at hand. They didn't have to work too hard for it. They didn't have to wait for it. But everything was good and beautiful. And at that stage, before they crossed into this land, God told them, remember where you've been. So what they had to do is they had to put some of the wafer bread that they'd had in the desert in a jar. And grandparents had to keep the jar and had to pass it on to their grandchildren to tell them, this is what God did for us when we were in a place where we were in great need and we couldn't see what we were going to use for food. So there was a jar to remember how God had cared for them. And then when they came in to the land that God was giving them, where everything was bountiful, where everything was flowing with milk and honey, they were to take a little basket and they were to bring the first fruits of all that God had given them and bring it to a place just like this church. That's what we've done today, brought the first fruits of all that God has given us. The thing about this is there any difference between each of the places, really? God rained down the manna in the desert, and none of these things could grow unless God rained his lovely moisture from heaven on them. We trust in God wherever we are. But the key thing is, wherever we find ourselves, and people across the world are in these different places at the same time, wherever we find ourselves, God wants us to have open hands. So I wonder, can we all do this? Open our hands. And this means we want to have hands open to receive what God gives us as a gift, but also open hands to give in our turn. And whether we are in need or whether we have plenty, whether life is difficult or easy, God wants us to keep our hands open. Not like this, not clenched fists, because then we can't receive and we can't give, but keep our hands open. So let's just have a little prayer about that. It's actually a little song that you might know, but we're going to pray it that we will have open hands to everyone, just as God's hands are open to us. Take my hands, Lord Jesus. Let them work for you. Make them strong and gentle, kind in all I do. Let me watch you, Jesus, till I'm gentle too, till my hands are kind hands, quick to work for you. Amen.
So now we're going to invite our children to head out, and I would encourage everybody to take a little look at the pillars when you're in church this morning, because the children from our Sunday school have done amazing decorating of our pillars, and they've been doing some drawings about the fruits of the Spirit. And we're going to invite the children to leave us now for Sunday school, and we wish them well as they go out. together we're going to stand to proclaim our faith in the God who provides for us in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
And now the choir are going to sing the anthem, Sing to the Lord of Harvest. Let us pray. Our special collect prayer for this Harvest Sunday. Eternal God, you crown the year with your goodness and give us the fruits of the earth in their season. Grant that we may use them to your glory for the relief of those in need and for our own well-being. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. O Lord, our Heavenly Father, almighty and ever-living God, we give you thanks for bringing us safely to this day. Keep us from falling into sin or running into danger, and in all things, guide us to know and do your will. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. Heavenly Father, in whom we live and move and have our being, we humbly pray that your Holy Spirit may so guide and govern us that in all the cares and occupations of our daily life, we may never forget your presence, but may remember that we are always walking in your sight. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. 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 We're going to sing together our next hymn, Holy is the Seed Time.
Speak in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. There is a wonderful word hidden away in Paul's letter to the Philippians. A variety of English words are used to translate it. In the version we read today, it is gentleness. Let your gentleness be manifest to all. But there is another English word which perhaps captures more of its meaning. Let your magnanimity be manifest to all. Not a word, I imagine, that we just drop into casual conversation. So we're going to have to unwrap it a bit like that wonderful conker that we get at this time of the year. We peel off the outside to get to the kernel. Hopefully, this word will help us to get to the kernel of what harvest Thanksgiving means for us. Firstly, I do want to thank Jono for his invitation to share in this service. It's a joy to be able to celebrate Harvest with you in this special anniversary year. I have lovely memories of my time on placement with you when I was a student reader, and of each of the times I've been able to be back with you. Let your magnanimity be manifest to all. So what does this word mean? Well, literally it means to have a big heart, greatness of spirit. But here are a few definitions that I really like. Magnanimity is extreme generosity of spirit that brings about a sense of nobility or calmness. It's that quality or combination of qualities in character which enables one to encounter danger and trouble with tranquility and firmness, to disdain injustice, meanness, and revenge, and to act and sacrifice for noble objectives. What a lot of meaning there is there. Does anyone come to mind? I wonder, do you immediately think of Her Majesty the Queen? In fact, this part of the letter to the Philippians was read at the service of thanksgiving for the life of Queen Elizabeth II in St. Anne's Cathedral in September. And Archbishop John, who you'll be welcoming soon, I hear, was saying that it wouldn't be difficult when we think of the Queen to think of whatever is true, pure, lovely, noble, gracious. But there's another word that means something similar to magnanimity, and it's open-handedness. And this is a word we find in Deuteronomy. That book which speaks the words of God through Moses at the boundary of the Promised Land, moving from the wilderness, which was very precarious and needy place after those 40 years, into a place of settlement and security. And where Paul urges us to have magnanimity, so also does Moses, because he realizes the temptations which the Promised Land will bring, that security. And he wants God's people to be true children of their Heavenly Father. He wants them to have an extreme generosity of spirit, which is steadfast and firm, whatever their circumstances. Moses warns them at the boundary of the Promised Land. It's not really a true boundary, the River Jordan, because actually we must ask, as we did with the children a few moments ago, is there any difference between a land where the people relied on the manna day by day to the land which is flowing with milk and honey, but is no less reliant on God's goodness? But it was a boundary place where God's people had to decide not to lose their trust in the Lord. Where in the wilderness the temptation was to despair, in the Promised Land of security and settlement and possession, the temptation was complacency. And they had to hang on to something in their minds, that this land is a gift, that there is nothing that they have not received from the Lord their God. And Moses knew how easy it would be to forget this. He knew how rare it is to have a people who know that their lives are grace-filled, that everything is a gift. It It's very rare to be able to keep that quality, notwithstanding whatever your circumstances are. Moses knew this. And that's why he said, when you come into this land flowing with milk and honey, you're to take a basket of the first fruits of the land, and you're to bring it before the Lord your God in the place chosen for his name, here, this place. And you're to remember the story of your ancestors, God's provision and care for them. But it's important to know that in remembering, we must keep memories alive. That when we think back to the time of our ancestors, we don't in fact use the past tense. We use the present tense. This is what Jesus did when he talked about the time of Moses. He said to the people, "It wasn't Moses who gave you the manna from heaven. It is the Lord your God who gives you the true bread from heaven." What they experienced is always vital, always fresh, always new, and it's for you to keep hold of it wherever you find yourself. It's a very difficult, rare thing to keep magnanimity when we are secure, to keep open-handedness no matter where we find ourselves. And this word at the boundary, I feel, is particularly important for us today because we find ourselves at one of those boundary places. In fact, when we think of the table that we had laid out there and the different places, the boundaries between them have become very thin. People recently have one day found themselves in one place, perhaps of ease, and the next day in a place of difficulty. But how can we keep that sense of the steadfast love, the loving kindness of the Lord, no matter which place we find ourselves in? I think too of the time when this church was founded. I can think about this because my family, my mum grew up not too far from here. And I can say of my own grandmother that she was a wandering Gibraltarian. She came here not having a word of English and settled in nearby Rosetta and found a place to live and belong. She married a naval officer from here and then came to live here after the war. And my mum can remember walks up the hill foot. So the time of transition when this church was founded between that rural road to that place of settlement was one of those boundary times. And no less today are we in a similar boundary time. How can we keep our magnanimity? Well, there are just a few things that perhaps we could think about that we read about in today's readings. First of all, in the book of Deuteronomy, it's interesting that God is always taking care of those who have no security. His eye is always on the stranger, the orphan, and the widow. But it is often those people who don't have security who show most open-handedness in the story of the scriptures. So we think of the widow in the time of Elijah, who gave him her last piece of food, and then after that, the jar of oil never ran dry. Overflowing grace and magnanimity. We think of the widow whom Jesus observed at the temple, who put in her last two small copper coins. And there's a certain steadfastness of spirit that they betray. We can think again of Her Majesty the Queen. I don't think we can help doing that. I'm sure you've been doing that as you celebrate your 90 years here. because she had that quality of steadfastness of spirit through so many changes in her reign. And this constancy and steadfastness comes through what we do in this place of worship. Because what we do is we keep the memory of God's goodness alive. We fill our minds and our thoughts with Him, with His provision, His grace towards us. Keep it always before our eyes, so that in every changing season we come back here, and this, the regularity and the changelessness of that worship keeps us centered on His goodness. We know that was true for the Queen, and it's something that she leaves behind to point us towards. She had that steadiness that comes from that place of worship. Paul, too, had that sense of steadiness. He said, I know what it is to have much, and I know what it is to have little, but I've learned to be content and trust in the Lord in all circumstances. Another thing that we're pointed towards is community. In both Deuteronomy and in the letter to the Philippians, we read again and again, we are to celebrate the bounty that God gives us together with everyone, both our neighbours and the stranger amongst us, those who don't have the security of possession of a place to live. We are to celebrate it together. And so many of the words in the letter to the Philippians say, together with, participating together in the Lord's goodness, accompanying one another through whatever experiences we as a community will face. Accompaniment, and I'm looking at Mark now, is about being able to be sensitive to changes for the other person, and to go there with them. That's when we musically accompany, that's what we do. And that's what we must do for each other. To be sensitive to when life is changing and when we can support one another. Paul knew the support of the Philippians in this time in prison when he wrote this letter. And even in that situation, his joy never wavered. So accompaniment and the steadfastness of worship are two things that will keep the memory alive of God's goodness to us. It's something that I remember about my grandmother, because like the widow in the Bible, she always had what we called a magic pot. She never had too much, but she always had enough, and the pot was never empty, whatever time of the day you called. She showed the magnanimity of the Lord. I wonder, can we do that? And can we pray for that at this time when there's so much political instability? Pray that the person who is appointed, and we think of our own province and of the United Kingdom at this time, will have magnanimity, that greatness of spirit, an open-handedness to everyone, and that sensitivity to accompany everyone through whatever they will face. Just going to finish with some words that I came across relating to this church, because a number of years ago I picked up one of the books that I'm sure you'll be very well aware of by Aidan Campbell. I picked up a few of the books that are about this area. There's one on Craiga, and I just picked it up about a few days ago and was amazed to see a picture of the laying of the foundation stone here. And there's something recalled that was spoken by the Archbishop of Armagh and Primate of All Ireland on that day, on the laying of the foundation stone. He said, may it ever be a place where human souls will find inspiration from above for all the beauties and happiness and difficulties of life. Paul says, let your magnanimity be manifest to all. Amen.
In our prayers this morning, we will share our requests and our request of God, and we have a response that we will say together. Lord of the harvest, hear our prayer. Generous God, at this harvest time, we thank you for all the good things you give us. As we thank you for our food, we remember those who do not have enough for even one proper meal each day. Lord, bless all those who suffer because of the greed of others. We pray for the homeless and the refugees. We pray for those who depend on the charity of others. And we pray for the work of the Salvation Army and local food banks, providing food and shelter for those in need. Help us to share the harvest of the world more fairly, so everyone can be fed and there will be no more starvation. Lord of the harvest, hear our prayer. At this harvest time, we thank you for the hard work of all those who grow, protect, and prepare our food. We thank you for the shopkeepers, for delivery drivers, for processors and farmers. Bless all those, Lord, who do not earn a fair day's pay for their hard work, both at home and in other countries. We think this especially as the cost of living is rising and rising. Help us to want to buy local produce and fairly traded goods wherever we can, so that everyone can work with dignity and that there would be no more poverty. Lord of the harvest, hear our prayer. At this harvest time, we thank you for the world we see around us, for the flowers, the trees, and animals. Bless all those who care for them, Lord, and help us to protect your creation by being careful about how we use your resources, so that there will be clean water, clean air, and plenty of wild birds, mammals, and insects to maintain the balance of your creation. Lord of the harvest, hear our prayer. At this harvest time, we thank you for your blessing on our families, friends and neighbors, and on those who are sick. We pray for those whose lives have been gathered into your presence, for those whose work here is done. Help us to recognize the interdependence of all life and the importance of good and just relations and community. And we pray this more in the light of the community we had yesterday. Thank you for the many people that came into our church grounds to enjoy one another's company. And we ask that our church community will grow as a result. Lord of the harvest, hear our prayer. Source of all life and giver of all that is good, hear our prayers and grant us all that is in accordance with your will. And we gather all of our prayers together with the words of the prayer your Son taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Let's stand now and sing together. We plow the fields and scatter.
Thank you.
Just before our final blessing on all our behalf, can we say a huge thank you to Julie for the word that she has shared with us this morning about the importance of magnanimity and open-handedness. And we want to say thank you very much to everybody who has been so magnanimous in our contributions towards the larder food bank at the back of the church. And we hope that those harvest offerings will be blessed as they are distributed over the coming weeks. So thank you to everybody for all your generosity to that appeal over the last number of weeks. We also want to say thank you to those who've been joining us in our worship online. And we're going to just bow our heads now as we seek God's blessing upon our lives and we recognize his goodness to us. May the God of all creation guard you by his angels and grant you the citizenship of heaven. And may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be amongst you and remain with you this day and forevermore. Closing hymn for today's service, All Creatures of Our God and King.